This could just be me based off of who I am, how God's created me, but I think one of the worst feelings in life is you're walking around, you're starting to get hot and sweaty, but you've been carrying this backpack on you, and it kind of starts to dig in. It starts to get like a little bit heavier. But as you're warming up and the things are just sticking to you, it just feels so weird. So for me, I do not enjoy the feeling of having to carry a backpack around as I'm going on my day. So naturally, I don't like hiking or anything that involves me carrying things really that are going to stick to my body. What we're going to be looking at today is sort of the gospel story. And so it's going to start off in Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, starting in verse 26. It says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground.'" So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food, and to all the beasts of the earth, and all the birds of the air, and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw all that he made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. To start off any sort of gospel message for us, it starts right there. Our belief wholeheartedly and with every ounce of our fiber is that there is God who has created all things. When we look at all people, when we look at all mountains and sunsets and rivers and streams and oceans and animals and flowers, all of these colors and everything, God has created it all. Our belief starts and ends there, that there is a God who has created us and he loves us. If you've ever listened to me talk about creation, I have to talk about it every time. In verse 31, God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. If you look throughout Genesis 1, all 6 days, God has a description of it. Through days 1 through 5, he says that he saw all that he made, and it was good. And then on day 6, when humans come along, he looks at it, and he says it's very good. For us, our belief in us as creation is that we're the ones that make that difference of the word "very." God looks at all the animals, all the flowers, the sunsets, all of these beautiful illustrations of animals and scenery, and yet he thinks that it's good. It pales in comparison to how he views you and I. Each and every one of us are a unique creation designed by the most creative mind you could ever think of. We are all unique in the way that we have been created and loved. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to imagine with me now for just a minute that what we have actually while we were created is that each of us have been created with a backpack that we have to wear. We have to walk around with this backpack. And what happens with this backpack is that there's two rules with it. Two rules. It has to be worn, and you cannot take it off. So it's really kind of one rule that has two parts to it. So this, it has to be worn and you cannot take it off. As we go through life and we see that creation, it skips ahead then to Genesis chapter 3. We're not going to read through it. I'm just going to touch base and summarize it for us. What we see that in creation, God had this desire and this design that we would be forever in the Garden of Eden with him in this perfect relationship. No sin, no evil. He's our God, we're his people. We're in this perfect, harmonious relationship forever and ever. But then we get to Genesis chapter 3, where we see that Adam and Eve have now eaten from the one tree that they were instructed not to eat from. They were told not to eat of this fruit. And then they ate of the fruit. And all of a sudden, we started to see how sin entered the world. We have to start to understand that God, our creator, throughout the Bible, it tells us that God is good. What we talk about when God is good, when we talk about something that's cold, you would define cold as the absence of heat. You would describe something that's dark, like darkness in a room, as absence of light. The same way for evil is absence of good. When we look at evil, then, if God is good, meaning at his core, he is good, then all evil means that it is the absence of good. So the absence of God, then, would be what evil is. So in the midst of all of our sin and all of our struggles and all of those things, it's because there's the absence of God. So when we look at all of these evil things and all of these bad things that happen in our own lives, in the world, it's the absence of God. People who are acting out of their evil, selfish intentions, which are the absence of God. They've shut God off and out of their lives. What happens with this backpack that has to be worn and cannot be taken off, you cannot take it off, is that as we sin, it's almost like adding a 1 pound weight just every time to our backpack. Where if you think about it at the beginning, yeah, a 1 pound weight doesn't sound that bad right now. I could definitely handle a few more pounds. But as you continue to walk through life and you're adding a 1 pound weight every time we sin and mess up, this backpack's going to get heavier. As it gets heavier, it starts to make it tougher to walk. We start to get tired more easily. We get to be worn down more easily. Have you ever had to try to carry something that's unbalanced? A wheelbarrow that hasn't evenly hasn't had the proper distribution of all of the weight. What happens? Well, if all of the weight's on the right side of the wheelbarrow and you lift it up, well, you're going to start tilting this way. The heavier the backpack comes, the more likely it is to dictate the direction that you're going to go. Now, if you're built like me, about 6 foot 250, you can handle a lot more 1 pound weights in your backpack. Now say you're someone that's built around like 5'6", 150 or so, more and more 1 pound weights, you're gonna start to fall back. You see, if we're falling back, all of a sudden we've lost the direction that God wants to take us in our lives. Now, unfortunately, what we have with evil is that our evil desires impact other people. Other people, whether it's intentional or unintentional, also add to the weight of our bag. We get the weight of people in our lives who have hurt us, even though we never did anything to deserve it. But yet that backpack becomes just a little bit heavier to start to carry. You see, the other thing about this backpack is, again, you can't take it off. It has to be worn. You see how close it is to us? You see how easy this backpack, as it starts to direct us, the heavier it gets, how much easier it has access to us because it's on us? How much closer this backpack already is to our ear as it's starting to grow and get heavier and heavier as we're carrying along. Part of the story after the sin, we flip ahead to John chapter 3. So we see that God's created us all. We are his unique design in the midst of all of these things. We then see that we've sinned. And then in John chapter 3, verse 16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever would believe in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only son." Jesus has come to earth. If Jesus, this name, is new to you, you don't know much about him, you've never spent any time with him, if you look it up historically, scientifically, scripturally, Jesus is talked about in every historical account of Christians and non-Christians. Jesus, the man himself, lived. So now we have to look at, do we believe that he is God's son who came to pay the price for our sins? That is the only discussion that can be had about Jesus. And I'm going to give you a little bit of a spoiler alert. There's no discussion to be had. Why? Because he lived, died, and rose again. Science points to it. History points to it. Literature points to it. Scripture points to it. Everything you could possibly want to study to see if Jesus lived, died, and rose again is going to point back to the fact that he did, in fact, live, die, and rise again. And if he did, that means that he is God's only son who was sent to die for you. Because what we start to have to understand is that as we're walking around with this weight of our sin and what other people have done to us, it starts to become how the world views us. It starts to become how the world talks to us. We start to believe the lies that it can so clearly just whisper to us. Your backpack's too heavy. Who are you to accomplish anything in life? Do you know what you've done? God would never love you. Oh, that sin can't be forgiven. Oh, do you know what someone else did to you? That's probably your own fault. And we start to then take the blame for this backpack. We start to feel the guilt and the shame of this backpack that's getting so heavy, but we remember the two rules. It has to be worn. We can't take it off. We have to continue to just prod along with this weight on our back as we're going through it. But let me tell you, God sent his son. You know why? Because he can look right past the backpack. The backpack that the world stares at, laughs at, and judges you for, the God who has created you doesn't even see it. In his eyes, there is no backpack on you. He sees you as his son and daughter, his most prized creation. He looks right past that book bag or backpack, right at your heart, to remind you that you are his creation. The one rule that kind of splits into two. You can't take it off and it has to be worn. There's one more rule that we have to know. This backpack, it comes with a death sentence. That when you're wearing this, you will eventually die. It tells us in Romans 6:23 that for the wages of sin is death. So the price to be paid for all sin. Notice this doesn't say for the wages of specific sins, for the wages of big sins, for the wages of sin, all sin is death. The price to be paid for all sin as a result of the sin from Adam and Eve is death. We have a death sentence on our back with this backpack. We also see in Romans 3:23, it says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So we all have this death sentence on our back that we can't take off and we have to wear. So we are all walking around now in life with this backpack on. Last week, we brought in Pastor Matt, so my dad. He was talking about the authority of Jesus and how we have also been given that authority. In Matthew chapter 9, Jesus gives us an example of this authority. It says, Jesus stepped into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own town. Some men brought to him a paralytic lying on a mat. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, take heart, son, your sins are forgiven. At this, some of the teachers of the law said to themselves, this fellow is blaspheming. Knowing their thoughts, Jesus said, why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. Then he said to the paralytic, get up, take your mat, and go home. Jesus was sent by God who created you as a result of your sin to remind you that Jesus has been given the authority to forgive sins. We also see another example of it in a couple books over to the right in Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, starting in verse 47. It says, therefore I tell you, this is Jesus speaking about Mary. He says, therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little. Then Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. The other guests began to say among themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. And then the last one that we're going to use today comes from 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. So we see from Matthew and Luke and in other places that Jesus has been given the authority on earth to forgive sins. And then in 1 John, it tells us that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins. Jesus has been given the authority to forgive sins. So what that means is that he is the only one who has the authority to remove the backpack from you. The one rule I gave you was that you cannot remove the backpack because there's nothing you could ever do on earth. No amount of good deeds, no amount of prayer, of reading the Bible, or anything could remove your sins that could take off this backpack for you. There is one man who has been given the authority to remove this backpack from you, and that is Jesus. Because you know what? He will continue to do it. He's been doing it since the start of time. From the moment that he lived, died, and rose again, he's been taking the backpacks off of all of God's creation, and he wants to take yours off too. It doesn't matter how heavy your backpack is. It doesn't matter the lies the backpack tells you about it. It doesn't matter the lies that the world tells you about your backpack. Jesus has the authority to take it off. So how does he do it? Well, in 1 Peter chapter 3, it says, for Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit. In 1 Peter chapter 2, it says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. In Isaiah 53, it says, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. If you don't know, Isaiah was written 700 years before Jesus was even born. But yet there's a verse so perfectly describing what exactly is going to happen and what it's going to do for people. This is no joke. Jesus and the Bible are real. In 1 Corinthians 15, it says, for what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And then in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And in John 1:29, it says, the next day, John the Baptist saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I picked 6. Do you know how many more there are that I could have just kept rattling off? Because Jesus died for you. When he died on that cross, he took every single weight of that backpack and he wore it himself. You see, this comes with a death sentence. We can't take it off, and the backpack has to be worn. Jesus died on the cross to remove the backpack from you. But you know what else his life, death, and resurrection did? He put the backpack on himself. Why? Because you can't remove it, and it has to be worn. The price for all of your sin was death. And you know what Jesus did for each and every one of you? He took the backpack off and he said, I'm going to wear it now. If you want to ask anyone who walks with Jesus, anyone who has accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior will tell you, we walk around earth, we still struggle with sin, but you know what we don't struggle with? The weight of this backpack. Because we have been freed in the name of Jesus Christ. But you see, we've all been in the same place. Why is it so hard to take off? Why is this backpack that weighs us down so hard to not only take off, but also keep off? Why do we still wrestle with it? Well, it's because that's who we are as humans. What do we want when we want to feel comfortable? When I'm sleeping and my 10-pound cat starts to lay on me, why is that comfortable for me? Why is a weighted blanket so comfortable? It's because it's what we know. When the backpack becomes what we know, it becomes so much harder to take off. But when Jesus becomes what we know, it becomes so much easier to believe that he's taken the backpack off and he's wearing it now. In Matthew 11, 28 through 30, it says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." If you are tired of carrying this backpack around, there is a God who has created you and loved you so much that he sent his only son to carry your backpack for you. It says, "I will give you rest." You will find rest for your souls if you're tired of fighting what's happened to you, if you're tired of fighting what you wrestle with, if you're tired of struggling in life. There is a God who loves you and wants to free you from it all. In Isaiah 41:10, it says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." God wants to carry you through it all. He wants to uphold you with his righteous right hand through it all. And in 2 Corinthians 12, it says, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong.'" What Paul's talking about here is that he counts it blessed when he's struggling with his backpack. Why? Because when you're struggling with your backpack, it's the perfect time for God to show up, to remind you that he's willing to take it off and carry it for you, that he's never left you, that he wants you to experience rest, but more importantly, he wants to take this death sentence off of you so you may enter eternal life. Jesus says he came to save the world, not condemn it. So many people view Jesus as this person that's pushing people out of heaven, but really he came that he could bring more people in. And then he's gifted and anointed us to be able to bring more people in. Why? Because God's goal is that everyone would enter heaven with him. God's goal and his good nature is that everyone would enter heaven with him. What we see is that Jesus rose from the dead. He trampled death, that nothing in our backpacks could control us. Your backpack has never and will never set you free. Your backpack has never and will never be your identity. Your backpack has never and will never have the authority to forgive your sins. There is one man who has the power and the authority to do all of those. And he has been seated at the right hand of the majesty of the throne of heaven and exalted above all of the earth. Because he died and rose again for you, that you could take off the death sentence and you could join him in heaven forever. Here's what I want us to do. We're gonna close our eyes now. We're gonna close our eyes. If you're comfortable doing it, I just want you to put your hands out in front of you like this. Just open them up, palms forward. We're gonna be ready to receive from God. So what we're gonna do with our eyes closed, I just want you to picture your backpack. Picture you tired of carrying it. Picture what's in it. What's your fault? What's the fault of others? Picture the weights that you've been carrying around. In Exodus 33:11, it says, "The Lord would speak to Moses face to face, as one speaks to a friend." So now I want you to picture your backpack. But now you're encountering God. I want you to just picture God exalted in his majesty, his splendor, but sitting there as a friend talks to a friend. We've pictured our backpack. We have God as a friend. And if you don't know God as a friend, Jeremiah 33:3 says, call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. So if you do not know God, but you can picture your backpack and can't picture him, just simply cry out, Lord, tell me great and unsearchable things. These great and unsearchable things might even be changing what our backpack looks like. We didn't even know we were carrying them. But in 1 Samuel 3:10, it says, the Lord came and stood there, calling as the other time, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. I'm going to read this again, but this time we're going to put our own names in that place. It says, the Lord came and stood there, calling as the other times. And just say your name twice. Nick, Nick. Then Nick said, speak, for your servant is listening. Let's prepare to listen. As we prepare to listen, just listen to Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners. It continues on to comfort for all who mourn, to provide for those who grieve in Zion. This is where God wants to meet you now. It says to bestow on you a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. With your backpack on in the presence of God, prepared to listen, I'm going to read that again, and I want you to picture it. Picture God placing a crown of beauty instead of ashes upon you. Picture the oil of gladness instead of mourning. And now a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. Then as we're picturing that, God's there. In walks Jesus. It says, now Thomas, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. This is after his resurrection. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it. A week later, his disciples were in the house again and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands, reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. Then Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Amen. Let's now just picture with the oil and the garment of praise, Jesus walking in and just picturing us touching his hands and his side, seeing that he did die for us. We've been clothed in the garment of praise. We've seen Jesus in the resurrection. And now I just want you to simply picture yourself. Or just ask him. I want you to ask Jesus this. Did you really take this backpack off for me? I want you to just picture him taking off that backpack and putting it on himself. And he looks at you and he says, absolutely, my son or my daughter. He has the backpack on now. We're with Jesus, we're with God. I'm going to read this passage and you're going to have to choose whether you want to believe it this morning or not. As you're looking at God and Jesus, it says, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. This is the part I want you to believe. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed that backpack from you. So far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear. Your backpack has been removed as far as the east is from the west. It's just you and Jesus. And he wants to give you a new identity today. Sit and listen and receive what that identity is today. If you had struggled to be in the room with Jesus, to fully picture this out, hands still out, crying out to Jesus, speak to me. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. Just picture feeding the pigs. And he says, he longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. So he got up and went to his father. This is the moment I want you to picture now. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. If you couldn't picture being in the room with Jesus, he's telling you that your new identity is a transformation from death to life and from lost to found. Do you believe that the God and Jesus in that room created you, loved you, died for you to remove that backpack as far as the east is from the west? Lord, speak, for your servant is listening. Lord, we thank you that our backpack's not our identity anymore. Lord, we thank you that you sent your son for us to separate it as far as the east is from the west. Lord, we thank you that you have moved us from death to life and from lost to found. Lord, we thank you that you're running to meet us. Lord, may we live in this new identity of this freedom, of our backpack being removed and worn by your son, that we could spend forever with you. So we thank you, we love you, and we pray these things in your name. Amen. As I invite the worship team up, you have a decision to make today. The first question you have to ask yourself is, do you even want this backpack off? Do you even want it off? Then you have to start to ask, are you done trying to take it off yourself? Are you done trying to figure out all the ways to just alleviate some of the weight, try to figure out how to press on in life with all of this weight? Do you even believe that Jesus died to pay for the price of the backpack? Are you willing to even let him take it? And more importantly, are you willing to let him keep it? As we continue to worship, I want us to reflect on these questions of, do we believe that Jesus lived, died, and rose again to remove that backpack? If you're answering yes to that for the first time ever, I'm just going to ask you to do something bold, to come forward. If you're tired of wearing the backpack, come forward because we want to pray for you. We're not going to ask what's in the backpack. You don't have to tell a single soul what's in that backpack. That's between you and Jesus. But if you're tired of carrying around the weight of that backpack in life, I'm just going to come ask you to come forward so we as a church can pray for you as we continue to worship.